fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, called for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my safely to arrive at home. I am bound for the kingdom. Will you go to glory with me? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
All right, everybody, that is Chris Stanzel, and that was from his album, It's Not in Vain. I believe that's, yep, that's what it is from. And Come Thou Fount. Here's another one by Chris Stanzel. And let's see, let's do this one to wake you up here. All right.
To see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. As I journey through this land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, just let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight with a tender outstretched hand toward the valley so low, guiding me. I can see as I onward go, before me billows rise from the mighty deep. Then my Lord directs my path, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. And he's a
real friend to me. Oh, I love him so, and oh, I want to see him. Just look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On those streets of glory, just let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen and amen. Back again. All right. Well, listen, that was Oh, I Want to See Him by Chris Stanzel. That is on the same album, It Is Not in Vain. And you can listen to that. Here's another one of my favorites on that album. It is called The Unclouded Day. And we'll listen to that while we're waiting to get some people on here as they keep... Since I'm back on YouTube, being kicked off in exile for a week and back on here... we're broadcasting on YouTube, we are broadcasting on Rumble, we are broadcasting on Facebook Live, and obviously, and always, on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. We will be getting our website up and running. I need to find a place where you guys can go and find me when I'm in Europe all the time. An easy, centralized spot. Because YouTube, they're not reliable. They're going to kick me off. So we need to figure that out as quickly as possible. So we'll be doing that because we'll be going to Europe very soon. Lord willing. I'll give you the dates here today. All right, let's see. How about Unclouded Day?
Beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away. Where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away.
Let's see about this. Boy, they must have cut their music off. Huh. Well, that's okay. We'll go somewhere else here today. Oh, there it is right there. I wonder if it'll play. Let's see if it'll play. Hmm. Let's see.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen and amen. OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Well, that's where the meeting house is anyway. I'm in the concrete cave here, all the way down in parts unknown. But anyway, we are back on YouTube here, as long as we can be anyway. And we need to get our Rumble account moving very well and continue. We're going to continue to broadcast on Rumble. We're going to continue to broadcast on these other platforms. You know, and all those other things. And all that good stuff, right? But we're looking at we got to get something centrally located, and I got to talk to Andrew about that before we leave. So I don't know if there's an opportunity to get that up and running. I'll have to broadcast on YouTube probably, but I want a place to, for you to go, and I want you all, as soon as I get that website, even if it's a simple one, set up and locked in to where my blog, my written blog and a video blog can be there every night. Or it might be day over here. I don't know what it'll be because I'm not good with all that stuff. But so you can keep track of that. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Well, I did a short video, but Andrew and I are going to do a real video here coming up. It is called European Evangelism Tour here. That's just what I called this. It might be called something else. I'm not very fancy. You know, I'm a pretty plain guy. So you can see it is what it is, right? So I want to be able to go somewhere where you can get to me right away. You can get the notifications right away because, Lord willing, here's the dates that we have in mind. Lord willing, April 16th through May 2nd is what the dates are that we have in mind. That's the April 16th through May 2nd. All right. And Patricia's asking me, where is the Monday show? It is over on Rumble. And you can get it on Rumble. It's not on Facebook, on Sermon Audio, because I can't get everything there right away like that. Nobody hits it if I do that. If I throw 10 things on at once, nobody's going to watch it. You got to just throw one thing on a day pretty much, and that's how you got to do it. Otherwise, people don't see anything. They don't even know what's going on. It's just the way it goes. So if you go to our Rumble account, though, let me see here. I'll get it for you. I'll put it in. Let's see. Hold on. That's not what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Hang on. I'll get it for you. Boy, it's amazing the difference from... Okay, anyway, 10 proofs America is a heathen nation. That's what it is right there. Let's see. Copy there. Let me go back to here. All right, here's the link, Patricia. It's right here. There you go. All right. All right, so now concerning this tour, okay, concerning the preaching and the teaching of God's word, concerning the ministry to the saints and being out there with them and seeing everybody, that's where we're headed. So we are headed there April 16th through May 2nd. Now, please, number one, pray for us, all right? I'm ordering them today, Lord willing, here. I'm ordering the plane tickets to get there. So you pray for us that the Lord would provide for everything, that God would provide and meet our needs here. I'm going to be doing a video here by the end of the week. If it's not out by this weekend, it'll be out by Monday or so. And we'll put it on there and explain to you exactly what all the things that we're going to be doing over there, sites we're going to be seeing, different things. Andrew's going to be recording all of it. I mean, we're going to have cameras rolling all the time. We're going to stream live. I'm going to preach in different locations, different places, all kinds of different things, okay? And I'll probably talk about some of the sites, and I'll use some of that footage later when I teach Baptist history, and I'll be doing PowerPoints with video with the Baptist history and showing folks back here and you guys online exactly this history and where these sites are and what happened there and all those other things. So I'll be doing that. There's one aspect of that. There's an aspect of prospective church planting. There's an aspect of preaching on the streets and evangelizing on the streets. There's an aspect of I'll be visiting Carl and Mary and spending some time with them and everything like in Croatia and everything like that. So there's a lot of things that we're going to be doing in that. So it's not going to be cheap, though. It's going to cost. So, you know, if the Lord so leads you and you want to give to that, if you send something, if you can't send anything, don't worry about it. Just pray for us. And watch when you see everything online and follow the vlogs and follow whatever kind of online blog that I do with that. And just follow that stuff as we go, because you'll be seeing that, okay, as we go. But if you can give to it, you can give through salvationpreacher@gmail.com through PayPal. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. We are starting to pay for things now. So today, we're stepping out by faith. I don't even have I sent off all the information for my passport. I expedited everything, and I'm just depending on the Lord to provide that and to make that all work out well. And I paid extra money to expedite it and all those things. So if you want to give to that, though, please send it that way. Or you can mail something to 1030 Highway 3 South, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Or if you want to do Venmo or Apple Pay or Cash App or any of those other things, just contact me at salvationpreacher@gmail.com to find out. And how you can do that and how you go about that. Somebody asked me, and a brother asked me a while back, just a few weeks ago, if I had any specific needs. And this is one of them now, okay? I didn't have any back then that I needed, and I don't remember who it was. But it was somebody online there that said that, and they asked about that. So if you would, just and if that's somebody, is that you and you want to do that, then please let us know, okay? So you can be a blessing, because, boy, we're going to be booking stuff, and we're going to be moving quick for 2 weeks straight. I'm spending a literal 2 weeks over there. The other 2 days are travel time, but I'm literally spending 2 weeks in that area. So we want to do documentaries when we come back. Okay. When we come back, we're going to be doing a few different documentaries. We're going to be doing a few different, Baptist history aspect, evangelist and church planning aspect, the Word of God, on the King James Bible issue and all those other, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to be dealing with. So, and meeting the brethren and praying with them on the streets and encouraging them and meeting them in some of their churches and all those kind of things. Okay. So lots of exciting things. I'm excited about it. I don't really travel well without my wife. I don't really like it. But I know this is the will of God. I know this is what God wants me to do. So I'm just going to step out by faith, and we're going to do it. So, and that's what we're doing. So if you want to be a part of that and you want to give towards that, get going if the Lord leads you to. If not, don't you worry about it. And if you can't, if you're not in a position at all, then don't think I'm pressing you, because I'm not. I'm not pressing anybody, because I believe God's going to take care of it all. I don't know who he's going to use to do it. But I'm not trying to squeeze poor people that got nothing. I'm not trying to do that at all. Because God will provide. I'm not trying to see anybody. And by the way, you can't outgive God anyway. God will take care of you no matter what. But I'm just saying, I want you to understand that. I'm not trying to do that. I have no desire to do any of those things. If any of you know me and you've followed my ministry, I don't monetize things. I don't charge things for anything. I've never done any of that. I've given you the opportunity to give if you were so led to do, but I've never strong-armed anybody. I've never pressured them and poked him and backed him into a corner or anything like that. I just don't do that. I believe God, and I believe God will take care. By the way, that's the same reason why I don't have some fixed salary at Old Paths Baptist Church. I don't have a fixed salary. I'm not an employee of Old Paths Baptist Church. Whatever comes in after the bills are paid, whatever the Lord leads, that's what my family does, and that's what we've walked by faith, and whatever the Lord brings in and whatever God does, that's what we've done. I've heard of pastors not taking churches because they said, well, I need this for a salary. No, you need to believe God. You need to just believe God is what you need to do. And I've also worked and ran businesses and done different things when the Lord had led me to. But now God showed me, I don't want you doing that. I want you doing this. This is what I want you to do full time. I want you to be doing this. And for the last, I don't know how many years it's been now. Goodness, it's been a while. Since 2011, probably, really. I mean, I made extra money doing a few things, but really, it was the Lord just providing. So praise the Lord. God's good to us. So you understand that. I get that. And I'm not worried about anything. So now, Nat Oliver, are you over in Australia or New Zealand or someplace like that? So, anyway, whatever the Lord leads you to do, you do it. If it's nothing, I know he's leading you to pray for us. Because that's biblical, amen? We'll let God sort out the rest. But anyway, we're excited about it. We're moving forward. I'm excited that Brother Andrew's going to go with me and Brother Carl and Mary. So you know, I'm excited about visiting and meeting Carl. Picking Carl up and throwing him over my shoulder. Putting Carl in the torture rack. Yeah. Giving Carl a big old bear hug. Yeah. Right, that's what I'm talking about right there. Andrew's just coming to hold me back, man, to keep me calm. That's right, Elijah Morgan, the Boston Crab. Look, Carl, don't be getting little man syndrome on me now, all right? I'm coming for you, Carl. I'm coming for you, Carl. Oh, you want to hear something funny? Mary's laughing about it. Man, I have a feeling this is going to be fun. Oh, man. Whoa, there he is. Cheeky. Listening from down. Hey. Cheeky, you tell him I can pick him up and put him in the fireman's carry or the Lex Luger torture rack, can I, Cheeky? Tell him, Cheeky, tell him. Tell him it's happening, Cheeky, tell him. Tell him he can't handle it. Man, I'll never forget. Listen, again, me and Rupus, 10 years ago, it's got to have been about 10 years ago. Rupus meets me online through preaching. Here's my sermons. And he's like, man, you got to come and see me. I'm like, okay. Oh, my goodness. I stayed there. He helped me do some physical training and weightlifting and all kinds of stuff like that. I get over there to Chicago. I get over there with him. And him and I, I'm glad there was nobody around because him and I, we literally acted. me and him literally act like a couple teenage guys, man. Oh, I'll never forget it, man. Oh, that was a while ago, man. That was a long time ago. That had to be almost 10 years ago, man. I don't know. I think it was. Man, that was funny. Anyway. All right. But I'm going to give him a big old bear hug. I also want to hear Ross Duncan's accent. I want to hear that. And I'm going to do my best. But if you see me smile when I listen to you guys talk, I'm not making fun of you. There's just like this little guy inside of me that's laughing his head off, okay? So, and that's the way it'll be, but anyway, I'll be nice though, but if you see me chuckling, you're gonna know why. Ah, yeah, anyway. I forgot about that, man. I forgot. Yeah, Ross's accent and Joe's accent. Oh, yeah. I got to hear both of them. I got to hear them. Good to see you, too, Mr. Promise. I think you're Mr. I used to tell him you can't. I used to say, oh, man. And I was such a teenager. I used to, see, Carl, you weren't the only one that acted like that. I just did it 10 years ago. I used to send videos to Rufus. I used to send videos to Rufus. And I would send him random videos all the time, like, you can't handle it. The Windy City Preacher. We had a lot of fun, though, me and him. Oh, we did, man. Yep. I acted pretty goofy. I still do have a lot of fun, but... Oh, man. That was funny. My wife probably seen those videos and, like, rolled her eyes. What in the world is he doing? Oh, but I had a lot of fun, man. I had a lot of fun with that guy. Man. No, we walked right through the rough part of Chicago. That's what he said to me. He goes, hey, I kind of watched you. He goes, because Brother Beller used to make fun of me. He used to be like, cool, you walk around with a strut. You just like walking around like a strut. Then so I was like, no, I don't. So I asked Rufus one time. I was like, do I really walk around with a strut? He goes, yeah, you do. You do. He took me to some dark parts of Chicago, and we were going out to dinner or something like that. And he took me down there, and I'm walking down there, and he's like, man, he's like, you don't look like you're scared at all. I mean, I wasn't really. It's just, oh, we had a lot of fun though. We did have a lot of fun, but, oh yeah. So anyway, but now Rufus is married, preaching, two children, and doing good. So praise the Lord. That's good to see. Good to see he's doing that. But what a blessing. Anyway, all right. Well, enough down memory lane, I guess. Big Whale's getting nervous. He thinks I'm going to turn into a comedian, so I better get moving before he gets too worried about it. I better get moving now. I might lose all my faithful audience, right? If I don't get moving here. Anyway, but what is this? Brandon Swanson says he needs a Big Mac, I guess. Anyway, well, now that we did all those introductions and we talked about those things, hey, I've been off of YouTube for a week, so people got to remember where I'm at here. Anyway, all right. So here we go. We are going to talk about the Satanic Temple first. And, you know, this is the direction that... I put all these in the same title because they all have an Antichrist agenda. From the Satanic Temple to Saddleback Church to Andy Stanley. It's so eerie how close they are connected, how much they are actually working for the same agenda. What they're doing. They all have the same agenda, which should frighten you. Because these are supposed to be mainstream Christian churches, not the Satanic Temple, but you wouldn't know the difference in the Satanic Temple and Saddleback Church. You wouldn't know the difference between the Satanic Temple and Andy Stanley's church. They're all like the same. They're all doing the same things. They're all following the same protocols. They're all catering to the same people. And they shouldn't be. There should be a vast difference in biblical churches catering to the same people, right? There should be a vast difference in biblical churches, or churches that claim to be biblical, I should say, right? There should be, but there isn't. And I'm going to show you this. This article is from Protestia. And what it shows us is exactly the direction of all these religious organizations, where they're headed, what their work is, and what they have planned, and what they're doing. And it ought to frighten you. By the way, it also ought to frighten you that the Satanic Temple is a 501c3 corporation. Most of these churches, and most churches in America today, are 501c3 corporations. They're creatures of the state. They derive their authority and their existence, from the state. They've sold themselves to the state. And God's churches ought never to have done that, in the United States of America especially. They never had to. They never had to at all. The Satanic Temple opens a new abortion clinic to murder babies in satanic ritual. Now you listen, they're trying to use the separation clause to murder. I mean, and then they claim that they don't believe in Satan. I've had people tell me, listen, Pastor Cooley, you just don't understand. These people believe Satan is like an archetype. They don't believe in Satan. Well, I don't care what they say they believe. They follow Satan's plan. I don't really care what they say. I watch what they do because I'm not an idiot. So I watch what they do.
Yeah, but they don't believe in the person of Satan. They don't.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Look at what they do. That's all that matters. Just like Andy Stanley's church is a temple of Satan. Just like Saddleback is a temple of Satan. That's what they do. I don't care what they call themselves. Lots of places in America call themselves churches. And yeah, they are churches, but they're not biblical churches. Most of them, or many of them, are churches of Satan. That's what they are. And Satan doesn't care which poison you pick as long as you pick one. And they're deceived by the devil. That's what they are. That's who they are. Just like Andy Stanley is deceived by the devil. Just like Saddleback Church is deceived by the devil. They don't follow the Bible alone for faith and practice. The Satanic Temple has announced that they are launching TST Health, the first ever religious abortion clinic network, on February 14th, 2023, with plans to open up several more abortion clinics in the future. Yeah, on Valentine's Day. Great. Makes sense. The Satanic Temple's announced the launch of its first reproductive health clinic. They don't believe in reproduction. They believe in murdering babies. Which will provide free religious medication abortion care in New Mexico. TST Health, the Satanic Temple's religious medical service arm, will provide telehealth screenings and appointments and prescribe abortion medication for its patients. This is their religion. Only you're not allowed to kill people. That's not protected under the First Amendment. The First Amendment is designed to preserve life, not to take it. Now, let me say this to you. Their understanding isn't much different than most feminists in fundamental Baptist churches. That are taking birth control, that are trying to kill life inside of them, that are trying to prevent life inside of them. Not much different. You see why I say, you see why their names are all in there? What's the difference in mainstream fundamentalist churches that support the use of birth control that don't preach against it? Yeah, LaVey describes Satanism as a philosophy of the self. Well, I would agree with that, but it's Luciferianism, because that's what Lucifer did. Lucifer chose to worship himself instead of God. And there is a spirit behind it. And the spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. And it is Satan that is behind it. I don't care if they think Satan's a real person or not. They're possessed by him. They follow him. They have devils inside of them. That's who they are. Because my Bible doesn't care what Anton LaVey's doctrine of Satanism is, or Anton LaVey's philosophy of Satanism is. My Bible describes to a T exactly who Anton LaVey is, who he works for, and what spirit possesses him. Want to see it? I'll show you. And guess what? It trumps any of their satanic philosophies. I had a guy tell me that years ago. You just don't understand. They don't really believe in the person of Satan. I don't care. It doesn't matter. They're deceived by him. Here it is. Want to see it? Want to see why my Bible doesn't care about what Anton LaVey tries to describe for another doctrine of Satan? I'll show you why my Bible doesn't really care. Here it is. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's your spirit. And that's the doctrine they follow. Want to know why they follow that doctrine? Because they have devils. That's why. Is that plain enough? Because they literally have devils. So what does it matter in that sense? What does it matter which doctrine they're deceived by in that sense? God says they follow doctrines of devils. Right? That's who they are, and that's what they follow. According to TST Health's website, anyone in New Mexico seeking to perform the Satanic Temple's abortion ritual will be able to receive free online medical services. Patients undergo a confidential screening and virtual appointment before having their prescriptions sent to the clinic's pharmacy partner, who will mail the medications in a discreet package. The pharmacy fees will fall around $90 in order to keep prices at a minimum. The TST Health's licensed medical staff will be available for patients' questions and concerns and will initiate follow-up communications with patients. In addition, the clinic has dedicated patient hotlines that is on call 24/7. The Satanic Temple hopes to expand operations into other states, including those that do not allow clinicians to perform abortions. The Satanic Temple was formed in 2012, is not to be confused with the Church of Satan, claiming over 700,000 people. They reject the existence of a literal devil in exchange for the devil as a metaphor, a literary device to further their activism. Yeah. And they follow him to the T. They obey Satan, and they follow Satan because of his spirit that is in them. Their mission is to encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits by engaging in run-of-the-mill pagan secular humanist ideas. You know what? I've dealt with these guys before. I preached at different places outside of areas. I've had these people oppose me. Back in 2015, I had all their little satanic people oppose me. Some big dude with an axe came out. With an axe in his hand came out and tried to say he was going to hit us over in the head. He was like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He came out from parts unknown, man. He just came out of nowhere and was going to hit me over the head with something. He wanted to fight us. He wanted to stop us from preaching. Little witches were running around. They sent me email messages saying, hey, I got a mole. Have you found your mole yet in your church? Did you find your little mole yet we put in there? Yeah, I found him. I found him. I sure did. So I know who these people are. I know what they're all about. Been there, done that. You better believe God rooted him out. Used to send me emails taunting me, did you find your mole yet? Did you find your mole yet? Yeah. They stalked me along with Planned Parenthood trying to get me arrested and all kinds of other things. So I know who all these people are, all these devil-possessed people are. Not the first time. Probably won't be the last time. But I know who they are. They're devils. They're possessed by devils. And the lust of their father they will do. We last wrote about them after they raffled off a free abortion to promote the organization's religious abortion. And they hosted SatanCon 2023. Look at that. Of all places, Boston, huh? There you go. That's what they say to us when we're preaching all the time. Hail Satan. Look at their agenda. They want to murder. They're for the death and murder. See, this is the witchcraft behind this. And these dummies right here, right? These dummies act like what? These dummies act like, well, we don't believe in the person of Satan. Well, you sure are doing his will. You claim to be inclusive, and you claim to be trying to protect others, and you claim to be against tyranny. Right? Wait a minute. But you're for the murdering of babies. Yeah, but they're not lying. Well, what does Satan do? What is the most powerful satanic sacrifice? Innocent blood. Aleister Crowley said it. Innocent blood, right? The blood of a virgin. Innocent blood. That's what he said, didn't he? Yeah. Well, but they're not Satan. Well, they're shedding innocent blood. Let's look what God says about that. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. Verse 13, thy eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Oh. Some dude named Mighty Mouse came on here and said, Pastor Kelly loves President Trump because he knows Jesus is a white man. Well, I don't care. What does that have to do with me? What does any of that have to do with me, man? That don't got nothing to do with me. Why don't you shut up and listen to what you're being taught right here and quit running your mouth? Ain't got nothing to do with me. Why don't you listen to what I'm teaching and learn something? Jesus wasn't white. He's Jewish. He's Hebrew. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Jews aren't white. You've been watching too many movies. Just because you see Jesus movies on TV don't mean that's Jesus. You need help, man. Real help. They gather themselves together against the souls of the righteous and condemn the blood of the innocent, condemn the innocent blood. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Look at that. Shed innocent blood. God hates it. Look what God says he hates. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Which is what that guy just tried to do. You see that? That guy came on here and tried to sow discord between me and another pastor. Now, why would he do that? I don't know, but God hates it. God said he hates it. I'd sure repent of it and quit doing it. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination, a false witness that speaketh lies. There you go. That was that guy. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. By the way, he lied about Reg Kelly too, because Reg Kelly don't believe Jesus was white. I never asked Reg Kelly that question, but I don't have to. Look what it says here. Their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. That's the satanic temple. Look at this. If you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in that place. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. That's Jesus, the prophet Jeremiah and God dealing with Israel. We understand that's not the same thing, but the principle is there. Don't shed innocent blood. Who sheds innocent blood? Like my broadcast on Monday, heathens. Heathens shed innocent blood. You bunch of pagans, you bunch of heathens. They're a bunch of heathens. That's why they kill babies, because they're heathens. Only heathens kill babies. That's what they do. Bunch of heathens. Bunch of goat god worshiping heathens. Don't tell me you don't worship Satan. When I see, I'll tell you guys flat out, you worship Satan. You bunch of deceived liars. You bunch of pagans. You heathens. That's exactly what you do. I don't care what my philosophy says, that Satan's not a real person. Yeah, right. Well, he's got you duped. He must be pretty real. He's really got you duped. Right? Right. Really got him duped, doesn't he? But you know something? You look at that satanic temple. Now I'm going to show you Saddleback Church. And I know it's not going to be about abortion. But it's going to be about heathen practices of homosexuality. They're heathen practices. They are not Christian practices. There is no Christian practice of homosexuality. None. Now I'm going to show you the Saddleback pastors. I mean, I'm sorry, but every time I hear Saddleback, it reminds me of Brokeback Mountain. That's just what it reminds me of. Every time I hear Saddleback and I see Rick Warren, all I can think of is Brokeback Mountain. It's literally all I can think of. It's just the guy, it just brings it right up right there. Just what it is. And by the way, whether I don't know if this dude's Assad or not, I have no idea. I don't know if he is or not. Because I don't really think he likes girls. I mean, he may be married and whatever, but he don't seem like he likes girls. Just the way he talks. He is the most effeminate dude. And by the way, I never have a problem calling out men that act like women. I make a professional career of it wherever I go. When I'm dealing with it. Not when I'm like, if I'm at the store buying bread or something, I obviously that's not the place. But in the public square, if I'm dealing with it, I tell them, you got a perverse spirit. And you're never going to be a girl. This is Rick Warren's fruity replacement.
I saw one on divorce. Can I take that one?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Now, let me stop here for a second. Who defines marriage? Let's start that out. Okay. Let's look at this. And Adam said, this is now. Okay, wait. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs. And he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. And brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That's my wife's new nickname. I'm going to look over to say, you are now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You are my missing rib. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. God defines marriage. God is the author of marriage. God defines what marriage is. Now look in the New Testament. Jesus says this. And Jesus said, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Jesus tells you what a marriage is. So the question that this man is going to propose, or this woman is going to propose to this man, is not a biblical question. It is not, they threw a straw man up to knock it down. It is not a biblical question. It is not accurate. It is not a contextual question. It is a satanic swerve. They might as well call it Saddleback Satanic Temple. Because that's exactly what they did, is play the same games the Satanic Temple does. Because they're in agreement with the Satanic Temple. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Verse 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, because God made them male and female, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together? What therefore God hath joined together? I'm going to say it again for you. What therefore God hath joined together? And I'm trying to drive the truth home. What I'm not trying to do is let me see. I'm not trying to do this.
Lord, nothing I did, nothing I tried, nothing I smoked, nothing I snorted, nothing I drank, no man I did, no one did me, nothing did me any good. Oh, Lord, even that food, the food, the food I put in my mouth wouldn't help me, Lord.
I wasn't trying to do that, okay? Oh, see, Rachel, this is for you, Mrs. Bicey. One more time, you gotta hear.
Oh, Lord, 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 nothing I did, nothing I tried, nothing I smoked, nothing I snorted, nothing I drank, no man I did, no one did me, nothing did me.
That food, the food, the food I put in my mouth wouldn't help me, Lord. All right. Jacob, you stop being jealous. You want that lady to sing a special. I know it. Oh. Okay, let me go back to the Bible. All right. Oh. Oh. Big Whale, if you don't stop nitpicking on me, I'm going to play that 3 times a day for you. I'm going to send it to you in a vlog every day. I'm going to mail that video to your house. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So in other words, it is God that said, what I join together, no man can put asunder. God tells you what he joins together. Male and female. That's who he joins together. You're not allowed to change that and claim that God brought them together. So in other words, the state can say that you can marry a monkey. The state can authorize marriage of a cow. The state can authorize you to marry a 5-year-old. The state can authorize you to marry anything they want. That doesn't make it right in God's eyes. That doesn't mean God says that's a marriage. That's the difference. You see? And now all I can think of, nothing I did, nothing I did, nothing I smoked. Sorry. It's like stuck in my brain now. All right, I'm moving on. No, not to that lady, I promise. I'm not doing that. Let's go back to Saddleback. Oop, that's not the right one. That's the right one. Back to Saddleback. All right, here we go. You ready?
Okay. This says, this is from Erica. It says, I have gay friends who came to Jesus after they were married and adopted children.
Okay, stop. So here's what they're doing. They're setting you up to feel sorry for them. Well, they got married. No, they didn't get married. They're not married. God doesn't count that as a marriage.
God hates divorce. How would you approach the situation?
Okay, stop. God hates divorce. Yeah, God said, I hate the putting of away. Putting away. But wait a minute. They're not married. Because God defines what marriage is. And you don't define what marriage is. You and I don't define what a marriage is. God defines what a marriage is. And where do these people get gay friends? There's no gay people in this world that want to hang out with me. Not like one person. In fact, most of the family members of church members, that their family members don't want anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really hard. Yeah, I'm a pastor of a 10,000-member congregation, and I can't even answer this question. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer this question. I get paid $100,000 a year, and I can't answer this question. I don't know. Really? Let me help you, Pastor. Let me help you. My 5-year-old or 6-year-old daughter can answer this question. Really? My 6-year-old, I bet you Charity could answer this question. I would almost say Prudence could answer this question. How about that? Yeah. I know if they couldn't, I'm fairly sure that Mercy could answer the question, and I'm fairly sure that Olivia could answer the question, and I'm really sure that Mandy could answer the question, and I know full well my son, Lucius, my oldest son, could definitely answer the question.
I don't know if there's a, I don't know if there's a black and white answer.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a black and white answer to that. I really don't.
Really? And you went to Bible college and you paid for it? Like, really? You don't know if there's a black and white answer to that? That God never one time ordained marriage to be anything but a male and a female? And you don't know the answer to that, really? And people actually pay you? People actually give money to your church? People actually support you? And that woman sitting next to you is your wife and she actually respects you?
And I think I would sit with them in it. Mm. And I would.
I think that I would sit with them in it for a minute. In it for a minute. I would just sit there. I would just sit there and be like, we're going to have a season to think about this. We're going to have a season to think about this and to ponder this and to really pray about what God already says in his word very clearly, that gay pride made Sodom fry, but we're going to have to think about this for a minute. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's what we're going to do. But by the way, hit my PayPal account up.
Pray with them, and I would try to wrestle through that decision. And I think it's such a life, it is such a massive, massive decision that I would probably say read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, and I will journey with you with it.
I'll journey with you when you come to my church and you sit there like two sodomites that are rebelling against God's order. I'll sit there with you. Right? I'll sit there with you through it. Really? You'll sit there with them. Okay, you'll let them come to your church, openly rebelling against God's word and living in absolute putrid sin, and then taking two children with them along the way that they've adopted. Because by the way, there's a reason for that. There's a reason that there's a reason why they had to do that with adoption, right? There's a reason for that. Here it is. By the way, these little girls singing this song with their daddy, they can answer the question, so we'll let them do it.
On the television just to watch the evening news, and what I saw on there made me want to crawl right through the tube. To the farm, come on out to the barn, you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, stallion, two bulls can't make a cow. It takes a male and a female for the species to go on, and there'll be no reproduction if the plumbing is all wrong. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn, you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. We used to teach our children all about the birds and the bees. Now the world keeps telling them you can do anything you please. We need to get back to the Bible, back to the gospel truth, 'cause a million happy roosters won't make a single chicken. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn, you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that.
Amen. All right. Well, they answered the question that this pastor just couldn't answer. So we'll see. We'll see if he
fit in it. And as you journey through it with them, I would have an ongoing conversation to ask them how the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding them, I think is how I would handle it. Cause I don't know. There are, okay. You know, Lori and Jason, our friends, are on the line. They were missionaries in overseas, and they would see people come to faith who had, in polygamous cultures, and they had five spouses. And so what do they do? Do they divorce four of the spouses and keep one of them? Or I don't know. So I think read the Bible.
Well, there is a difference in polygamy.
There's a difference in polygamy, which is a man and a woman, and something that is perversely against nature, that God has said is against nature. Right? That's the truth. So there's a major difference in the two, right? But they don't care. So he's making it up. See, he's making a comparison of other things, and he's trying to normalize homosexuality. He's trying to normalize sodomite marriage.
Pray, ask the Holy Spirit to speak. That would be my encouragement. And then journey with them through it.
Yeah. I think that people that draw hard, strong lines, and it gets really difficult. It doesn't take into account how complicated.
Yeah, when you obey the word of God, when you follow the scriptures, you just don't understand how complicated that is. Actually, you lying little Jezebel. We do understand. Because we understand exactly. We understand exactly what is involved with it. It's like the pastor told me before I got saved. And the girl left me. And I wanted her back. And I was heartbroken, devastated. And he looked at me and he said, "Now listen, she's a whore and you're a whoremonger." Oh. Well, that's true. Man, that wasn't very complicated. I had to drop my pride. Eventually, God saved me. Not because I dropped my pride, because God has power over salvation. That's not the point. The point is God brought me to a place of repentance and faith in Christ. And you won't want to be raped in an improper way any longer when you get saved by the grace of God, by a man. You won't want a man to rape you any longer when you get saved by the grace of God. That's pretty simple. Right? And that's why you don't see sodomites banging down the door of Old Paths Baptist Church wanting to get inside and sit in and have a integrated, inclusive service. They don't want an inclusive service. They don't want to be part of, well, I don't want to be part of the inclusive service. Yeah, you don't want to be there. Why? Because we're going to preach the devil right out of you. That's why. That's why. Meanwhile, all my friends can tell me I'm doing it wrong. Everybody else can be mad and angry and not talk about it and be quiet about it and not warn about it like I've been banging the drum since 2010 or whatever it's been. Warning people, the invasion is here. So these guys, they're no different. That's what they're doing. I think people that take such a hardline stance, you mean like God, who wrote it in his word, who takes a hardline stance?
The individual situation can be, and yeah. I think that it has to be navigated with nuance and a lot of wisdom and grace.
Yeah, and I think that part of what the enemy does in our minds is that there are some situations that are black and white and there are some that are gray.
Which ones aren't? Men raping each other and calling it marriage isn't black and white? Men defiling themselves, as the scripture says, isn't black and white? Men trying to be women isn't black and white? Right? Which one of those things isn't black and white? It's pretty black and white right here. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, which is the first one, which covers all sexual sin and perversion, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor specifically effeminate. That's a man that acts like a woman. Woman-like. You make womanish. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Sodomites. Yeah. Right? I think when you just try to make things black and white like that, though, it's just really bad. You should just, like, live in fake land and roll around there and not tell these sinners that they're on their way to hell. Not warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Why? Because they're making big bucks, that's why.
Situations that are black and white, and there are some that are gray. And I think that situations that are more black and white call for a decision. And situations that are more gray call for more discernment, prayer and scripture. I mean, processing and talking through it. So.
Okay. So you have to pray about whether it's the right thing to do for two men not to mock God, shake their fists at heaven and claim to be married. Really? Gotcha. So that's the position of
Saddleback. I saw one on divorce. Can I take that one?
That's the position of Saddleback. Here we go. Listen to this one. Here's another one.
Do you want to answer this one?
Yes. Can same sex couple members get married in Echo? So there, when you think about marriage, for example, I was asked the question by several of our same-sex couples here at Echo. I would attend the wedding of a friend. I would not personally perform the wedding of. So, for example, if somebody in our community who's gay and they're getting married and they invited me to the wedding, I would come. I would even give a present. I would be there. But I would not, as a pastor, perform the wedding. We as a church are not engaging in civil marriages.
Okay, so listen how nervous he is to tell them that he actually has some kind of a convoluted standard. Watch how nervous he is. Let's go back. Watch this.
Do you want to answer this one?
Yes. Can sex couple members get married in Echo? So there, when you think about marriage, for example, I was asked the question by several of our same-sex couples here at Echo. I would attend the wedding of a friend. I would not personally perform the wedding of. So, for example, if somebody in our community who's gay and they're getting married, and they invited me to the wedding, I would come. I would even give a present. I would be there. But I would not, as a pastor, perform the wedding. We as a church are not engaging in civil marriages. And in our society right now, civil marriage has been decided by our government that people who are gay and get married and they have equal tax benefits and they're treated equally in society. And that's a different conversation than the conversation we're having tonight.
Yeah.
So the conversation tonight is a spiritual conversation, and it's about what we as Christians and followers of Jesus believe the Bible teaches. So I would not perform a wedding of somebody who was gay, and our pastors at our church would not. But we would attend if we have a relationship with you and we get invited. Now, truth be told, we've not attended a whole, I mean, we might go to one or two weddings a year,
mm-hmm.
but we would if we're friends with somebody, we'd probably go.
Okay.
Okay. So if we were friends with them, we would probably go. What's the difference? What's the difference? He's so weak. And by the way, he totally swerved that conversation. This is the pastor now of Saddleback Church. He totally swerved the conversation. And what he swerved it into saying is that, well, I wouldn't go. Or I would go to it, but I wouldn't perform it because we're not engaging in civil, and the United States government says it's okay. Wow. Well, he didn't much have a problem with that, did he? No, he didn't. Embracing the journey. We recently uncovered, here it is, another one, the fact that Andy Stanley's North Point Community Church has gay-affirming pastors. We're going to show that again, just so you remember, this is where these mainline denominations are going. Andrea, because he doesn't fear God, the Bible's not his authority, but culture is his authority. If you disagree with culture, well, then you're a racist, bigoted homophobe. You have to agree with everything culture says. And if you don't, then you're a racist, bigoted homophobe. That's just the way it works, period. And those that say anything to the contrary that don't agree with that, well, they get labeled right away. We recently uncovered, okay, so here we go. One of the speakers of this event is Chris Clark. He is a pastor at the 25,000 member camp at 14 campus Saddleback Church, where he leads premarital mentors in church counseling training. Years ago, his daughter came out as transgendered. Doesn't sound like he did a good job with her. And in response, he co-founded an Embracing the Journey chapter at Saddleback Church, along with Shauna and Doug Hebel. Embracing the Journey is an openly affirming pro-LGBTQ ministry that routinely partners with aggressive pro-LGBTQ activists. Organizations like the Reformation Project would seek to advance full LGBTQ inclusion in the churches. In 2020, they entered into a partnership with Saddleback Church to be their go-to resource for parents with kids who are struggling with their sexuality. How are you raising your kids if they're struggling with their sexuality? What in the world are you doing? Your members of your church have that much of a need of thousands of children that are struggling with their sexuality? Really? Sounds like you're a bunch of perverts. The Hebels are longtime members of Saddleback Church, attending for over a decade, according to their ETJ bio. In 2016, Shauna attended the Reformation Project Conference as a prominent pro-LGBTQ advocacy group. There she saw gay Christians studying the Bible and worshiping God. She saw that their vibrant faith, despite the pain they faced, and came to believe that homosexuality was not sinful. Oh! So you looked at people and not God's word, and you decided how people in the culture live, that determines what you believe about something. So you didn't look at the Bible as your only authority of faith and practice. You looked at what the world says, what people say. I and I came to believe that homosexuality was not sinful. Really? So you didn't go to the Bible. No, you went to culture. Culture became your final authority on what you do. Shauna, in particular, became radicalized over the years, attending Fuller Seminary to receive an MA in Justice and Advocacy and coming to lead panels on behalf of the ETJ for Reformation Project. She's a leader in Saddleback and has grown the ministry. Saddleback Church now hosts 4 ongoing support groups and 1 small. The fact that Saddleback is still in the Southern Baptist Convention over all this garbage just proves to you how absolutely satanic the Southern Baptist Convention leadership is. They might as well call themselves Saddleback Southern Baptist Satanic Temple. Yeah. We affirm and work with conservative parents to help them become and affirming. So they literally have satanic ministers in their church. They have satanic ministers in their church. Teaching children. Somebody said, now, come on, that's a bit harsh. Could you explain to me what about what I said was harsh? I'd like to hear it. I'll give you the opportunity. I'll give you the opportunity. They have satanic workers. I said the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention. I did not say all Southern Baptists were satanic. I said the leadership of the Southern Baptist churches, the Southern Baptist organization. That's what I said. If you tolerate Rick Warren in there and you didn't vote his nasty satanic rear end out the door, then you are complicit with his Satanism. Bang. Drop the mic on that one, friend. I believe they do a lot of missionary works. I absolutely believe they do. That's why I said the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention. I do remember that. I have his book right over there, Michael Jacome. I do remember that about Rick Warren and the CFR. Yeah, and right now its phase is real. It's last but one said the convention goes through many phases. I know, and right now it's in its limp-wristed phase. It's walking on the satanic sodomite catwalk. That's what they're doing. Okay, here we go. Verse 13. Wait, sorry. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed. What are they doing? They're transforming people. No marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers
also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What are they doing? They're transforming. Look what they're doing to the kids. This is right in a Southern Baptist Convention church. They are transforming people. They are creating sodomites and transgenders. They are recruiting them. They are making them. That's what Rick Warren's church is doing. Prove it wrong. That's what they're doing. This is, and by the way, is it any wonder that it's got to be some broad? It's got to be some emotional broad that looked over there. Some bimbo went over to a meeting, saw two sodomites kissy-pooing and lovey-pooing each other with a bastardized Bible version in their hand, and some broad, some bimbo, some Jezebel is teaching parents and families how to transition and affirm their children. You like that? Is that too plain spoken for you? Yeah. That's pretty plain, isn't it? And by the way, I'm not saying those words for shock value. I'm saying it because I believe it. That is a Jezebel. Now, come on. You can't say that. No, I did, and I'd say it again. And to top it all off, in case you forgot, by the grace of God, I'm a street preacher, and I'd stand in front of there with 10 of my men, and we'd say the exact same thing to that Jezebel. Don't believe me? Watch the videos. I'm not saying anything I wouldn't say in public, and I wouldn't say right to her face. But you go ahead and use sweetie-weedy language. You go ahead and use the little passy-wassy sweetie-weedy language. You go ahead and do that and talk like Tweety Bird to her. You go ahead while they pervert your children, while they trans these children, while they sodomize these children. You go ahead and whisper sweet nothings in their ear while Rick Warren's taking his millions upon millions upon millions of dollars and converting people and transforming them. But tell me to shut up, back off, preacher. Don't get so excited. What's wrong with you? Can't you just speak sweeter like little Tweety Bird does? Can't you just talk to people like that while they steal your children, while they corrupt the children of your nation? Couldn't you just calm down a little bit? Couldn't you just be quiet a little bit? Couldn't you just be a little bit more passive with it? Couldn't you just be a little nicer? No, I really can't be. I guess that's the truth. I got to tell you, no, I can't be. I can't be. Right? I just can't be. She is the definition of Jezebel. And Rick Warren loves to have it so. And all those men do. Last but one, if you are a pastor of a church, take your church out of that convention. You don't need it. Organize your church according to the scriptures. Come out of her, my people. Stay away from her. Don't be connected to them. Right now, you are personally connected to wicked people. Your church is connected to wicked organizations and wicked people. Get them out. Get that church out of there. If you're the pastor of that church, you get together with that church and you get out of there. You have no business being shacked up with Jezebel. None. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And yes, I know. This is why I don't have very many friends. I get it. I already understand that. This is who these people are. She gave the shout out to Freed Hearts, the affirming ministry of Susan Cottrell, Outsmart Magazine, called Cottrell the mother of all mama bears, and the famed gay magazine, The Advocate, dubbed her our favorite affirming matriarch. She is a prominent voice for the LGBTQ plus community and has statistically unlikely odds of having two children who are gay. If you are a famous actor and you belong to any organization that hates certain group of people, don't be surprised if someone simply wonders why it's not addressed. Being anti-LGBTQ is wrong. There aren't two sides. The damage it causes. Seriously, just divorced. Chris Pat might look up what grace is again. Churches like Hillsong that mandate queer celibacy should try a year of solitary themselves. No hugs and hand-holding, kisses, cuddling, intimate dinners, and see how this works. God's endgame is love. Really? What is love? Well, I would say that love is not raping one another. That's not love. Yeah, that's unnatural affection. That's not love. I help conservative parents understand and support their queer kids and keep them from being taken to conversion therapy or kicked out of their homes. Beth Moore, for those who need further clarity on why I dropped some of my commentary from the prayer book, praying God's word, it won't be enough, won't make anyone happy, but here it is. Why I removed some of my commentary. Thank you so much for your consideration of the LGBTQ community. Beth Moore, you dropped it because you're a Jezebel. That's why you dropped it. You dropped it because you're a compromising Jezebel. That's why. That's why you did that. It's all for the money. That's why. That was the reason. It was for money. So here's this other organization, Rick Warren. Below is a screenshot in case Saddleback tries to remove it from their website, showing their support with the same name, Embracing the Journey. So who are Greg and Lynn McDonald, and what is Embracing the Journey? According to their about page on their website, Greg and Lynn McDonald are parents, best friends, authors of Embracing the Journey, and co-founders of the ministry by the same name as an outgrowth of their family's personal journey associated with having a gay child. And their mission is to build bridges between LGBTQ. You know what my mission is? For men to repent.
You know what my mission is? For sinners to repent and believe the gospel, to have their life changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's my mission. My mission is to see Christ glorified and honored in the lives of his people, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's my mission. The McDonald's are also part of Matthew Vine's Reformation Project, a fully affirming ministry that promotes man-to-man and woman-to-woman homosexual acts and relationships in the church. According to the Reformation Project, Greg pursues his passion of helping LGBTQ families become reconciled with each other and move one step closer to Jesus, while Lynn's love of people has fueled her work as a bridge builder between the LGBTQ community, their parents, and the church. It simply breaks my heart when people are told they can't be Christian and LGBTQ. That work Renovaugh does of helping LGBTQ individuals reclaim and deepen their faith inspires me to make a difference in serving on the board. They don't care about the gospel. They don't believe in Jesus changing people. Again, Andy Stanley. This is them.
Hi, I'm Cortland Russell. I didn't grow up going to church or really having a relationship with Christ. It wasn't until I moved to Atlanta and met one of my now best friends, Gregory Cook, that I was connected with a community of LGBTQ Christians. I saw shining examples of healthy LGBTQ Christ-centered relationships and really started to have that personal relationship.
How could something be a Christ-centered relationship when it's not Christ-centered? When it's not based on what Christ said? When it totally is an absolute rebellion to his word?
With Jesus for the first time in my life. I remember driving to Starting Point one week and listening to Andy's messages right before Starting Point groups as a way of preparing for that session, and I just started crying. I'm excited to be baptized and publicly share that I love Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior.
Wow. By the way, nowhere in the Bible do you see any woman ever having authority to baptize. Do you understand that? Nowhere in the Bible has a woman ever baptized anyone in a church. Ever. Jesus ordained apostles to go. Jesus ordained men to go. Nowhere in the Bible do you see women baptizing. Nowhere. But that's Jezebel right there. So this is Andy Stanley's church, right? This is what they're doing. I showed you some of his stuff before, right? North Point pastor tells people not to attend her church because it's not affirming and safe enough. Here you go. Amy, my name is Amy Blakesley, and I'm very excited to be here, and my pronouns are she, her, and I. I identify as gay, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and love coffee, so I have a background working with parents and family, LGBTQ individuals, and love them. And so I'm looking forward to having this conversation. Debbie, and I'm Debbie. My pronouns are she and her. I identify as straight, I guess. I'm a parent of a gay son that's 25, and Amy and I led a ministry together called Parent Connect, where we met with and not dealt with, but interacted with lots of parents whose kids were coming out, and so you know my reason for being here. See how absolutely wicked this is? Because my personal experience in a non-affirming church has been that it takes a lot. It's a long journey for lots of religious leaders. I had a different belief system based on what I was taught when I was growing up, and it probably took me about 4 years to come to be somebody who is safe. Well, it says navigate around others, and this is something that made you know Jen very angry. We get all that all the time. So basically...
My name is Amy Blakesley, and I am very excited to be here, and my pronouns...
Does anybody think that that woman, that I think it's a woman, looks like Pat off of Saturday Night Live? Now, don't go look that up, but it just reminded me of it. I'm sorry.
Are she, her, and I identify as gay. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I love coffee. So I have... background working with parents and family of LGBTQ plus individuals, and love them. And so I'm looking forward to having this conversation tonight.
And I'm Debbie Causey. My pronouns are she, her. I identify as straight, I guess. I am a parent of a gay.
I identify as straight.
Son. That's 25. And Amy and I led a ministry together called Parent Connect, where we met with and not dealt with, but interacted with lots of parents whose kids were coming out.
We dealt with you guys. You guys are just awful.
And so, you know, my reason for being here is just my love for my son and just the LGBTQ plus community. And that I've gotten to know through the years. So, yeah, that's us. Here comes Jen's question.
Take it, Jen, Debbie.
How do you advise someone to navigate around others in their church who are not supportive of parents of an LGBTQ plus child?
Because my personal experience in a non-affirming church has been that... it takes a lot of, it's a long journey for a lot of religious leaders to, or even just people in the church to, you know, it was long for me, you know, I had a very different belief system based on what I was taught when I was growing up. And it probably took me about 4 years to come to be somebody who was safe. So not to say to give up on them, but I would focus more on the parents themselves than on the church members who are not supportive. But Debbie, if you have any more helpful thoughts on for the church members.
Well, it says navigate around others. And this is something that made, you know, Jen very angry. And we get that all the time. I think it's to encourage those parents to have that inner circle to, you know, you're going to grow a pretty tough skin. And unfortunately that's through microaggressions and hard things that you'll experience as parents as well. But they need to have an inner circle. And then sometimes I just tell them, hey, our church might not be a safe place for you. I want you to be in a safe spot. So it just depends on those parents and how, you know, how much they're willing to kind of take on. But if they're in a situation where it's constant, I would want to get them out of there, or at least have an inner circle that can be supportive of them, including you being part of that inner circle. But yeah, we can't protect others. Unfortunately, I wish I could. We can't protect our LGBTQ plus community. I wish we could. I work for a very large church. So I'm in this all the time, in this situation, and you're right. It's not fun.
Wow. Well, that's what happens when you have corporations, right? when your churches are a bunch of corporations and oh, I work for a large church. Really? You wouldn't be working there very long if I was your pastor. Of course, I wouldn't have you working for me anyway, but listen to what she said. By the way, the safest place you could ever be is the will of God. And that's denying your flesh, taking up your cross, and following Christ. That if any man will come after me, let him deny his flesh. What does that mean? That means any sin. That's what Jesus said. If any man will come after me, let him deny his flesh, take up his cross, and follow me. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You have a sin problem. It's not a homosexual problem. It's not a heterosexual problem. It's a sin problem. And some sins are deeper and worse than others. And the degree of those things are worse than others. God holds a weightier judgment on some sins. We're not talking about what qualifies you for hell. We're talking about in this life what God does. Some of those sins will sear your conscience with a hot iron. And your mind will never come back from it. That's why the gospel is to repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Sin is that transgression of the law. And you are when you are taken with sin, it will take you captive. Satan has them. And now Satan has churches. Not just the Satanic Temple. He's got Saddleback. He's got Andy Stanley's church. He's got a lot of the Southern Baptist Convention churches. They have programs designed to cater and support things that are clearly in rebellion to God's word. These are assemblies of Antichrist. Years ago, many years ago, I preached this many years ago. Counterfeit Christians filling the church of Antichrist. Almost 2,000 downloads of that sermon. Counterfeit Christians filling the church of Antichrist. Because that's what they're doing. Way back then, 8 years ago, I preached on that and warned people. Right? How about this one in 2015, the same time frame? The homosexual invasion of the churches. How about God hates gay rights and destroys nations for them? Homosexuality is occult worship, Hitler, Crowley, and secret societies. The homosexual invasion of the churches. Obama overhauling straight America. The homosexual manifesto. Public schools queering your kids. The Hollywood sodomite agenda. Sodomites in the Bible. Without natural affection. There you go. And how many numerous sermons warning people that this was coming. And now the churches are filled with it. Right? filled with it. Anyway, all right. Well, listen, I'm done for now. Let's play a song here. And if you want to say hi, there was like, I don't know, almost 60 people on here, 50-some, 55 or so people on there. If you want to say hi real quick, we'll give you that opportunity to do that here. And let's see, we'll get to, we'll play a song here. Let's see. We'll go to.
Gone from my heart, the world and all its charm. Gone are my sins and all that would alarm. Gone evermore, and by His grace I know the precious blood of Jesus cleanses white as snow. I love Him. Because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once I was lost upon the plains of sin. Once was a slave to doubts and fears within. Once was afraid to trust our loving God. But now my guilt is washed away in Jesus' blood. I love Him.
I love Him.
Because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I live, to tell the world of peace that He alone can give. I love Him. Because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Calvary's tree.
Amen. Amen. On Calvary's tree. Thomas Staniland, how are you? Where do you live, Thomas? I'm trying to remember where you live. I thought you live overseas somewhere. I'm trying to remember if that's where you live. All right, so, yeah, that did go fast, Hannah. That's right, it did. Maria says, play the Millions song. I played that last broadcast. You missed it! Cindy Nelson is there. Fabian. Oh, he lives in Texas. That's right, okay. For some reason, I thought you lived overseas. I was going to say, we'll have to meet up if we get over there, but you're, or when we get over there, but you're not over there. Okay. All right. One more song. I'm going to play one more song and then we'll get out of here. Okay. Okay. Let's see.
Oh, yes, I remember a poor deluded professor who used to sing me this song.
Billions and billions of years ago, a blob climbed out of the sea. He looked at the sky and yelled, "I'd like to fly," and poof, he sprouted some wings. He climbed up a tree to the very tip-top. He jumped off a limb and he hit with a plop. He broke both his legs, so he started to hop.
Ribbit, ribbit.
Billions and billions of years ago. We know it's absurd and it doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years. Billions and billions of years ago, a frog went out for a stroll. The froggy went brr, I could chew you some fur, and poof, hair started to grow. It grew on his hands and his little webbed feet. It grew on his head and it really looked neat. He thought, I'm a monkey, I'll swing from a tree. Billions and billions of years ago. Sing it, class.
We know it's absurd and it doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. We're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years.
Now, class, listen carefully. Oh, this is the best part. Oh, you're going to love this. Now, listen. Billions and billions of years ago, a monkey sat on a rock.
He said with a wink,
I'm a genius, I think.
And poof, he started to talk.
Oh, yes, he did. The problems of math he could now understand.
He made a trombone and he started a band. He changed from a monkey right into a man.
Doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years.
It sure seems to help to add billions of years. Billions and billions of years ago.
Very good, class. Very good.
Very good, class. Very good. Okay, we got to get out of here. I got to go do some praying. But you pray for our ministry, please. Again, I said at the beginning of the program, in case you didn't hear it, I'll say it at the end here. We're going to Europe. A few of us, Brother Bicey and I, are going to Europe in April. So at the end of April or mid-April, and we're going to be meeting up with Carl. We're going to be preaching all over the place and also doing somewhat of a Baptist history tour to gather information for future things that we're going to do, documentaries, different things, be preaching on the streets, preaching on some church at some churches and all kinds of other things like that as we go through. So please pray for us. All right. Pray for the Lord to bless us. Pray for the Lord to provide for us. If you want to give to that, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. If you want to mail something in, here's our address at the bottom of the screen, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. All right? There's other ways you can do Venmo, Apple Pay, all kinds of other things like that. Keep that in mind. We'll be doing a video here pretty soon. Brother Andrew and I will shoot a video, and we'll get it on, and you'll be able to understand the mission, what we're going for, and how the Lord... How we wish to do that, but we're getting ready to order the plane tickets and do all that here if they're not already ordered today. But so you pray about what the Lord would have you to do. If it's nothing, then I know God wants you to pray for us. Amen. That God would bless us. All right. So you pray for us. And God bless you all. I appreciate you all. Love you. We're praying for you. And you pray for us. God bless you. We'll see you Friday, 2 p.m. Central.